Come with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The Lord had me in different places today, and more than anything else, I think He wanted to make sure that you realize your ability to bind up the deceiver just by your presence. More than anything else, I want you to keep that in mind, how much of an irritation you guys are to Him. And your abilities are just being there. You do put on such an irritation.
I'm glad to hear you say that with the situation that I was in, you know. And I sat there and I could feel that the presence of God was a real big threat in that house.
Yep.
You know, so that kind of...
But don't forget, you're dropping seeds there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember... The vision that God gave me when I was praying for you, Rosie, is that you're dropping seeds and some the birds are coming and they're taking them out and you're not to worry about that at all. Now that was weird because I saw it in a vision form. If I don't see it in a vision form after the words are out, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see the vision. I saw the rows, I saw the seeds, and you were planting seeds. But there's birds behind you, I believe I said crows.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stealers,
mm-hmm.
and they stole some, but not to worry about it. That's not your problem, okay? Your problem is not to focus on anything that he does, just continue doing.
Truth will prevail.
Huh?
Truth will prevail.
Yeah. Well, sometimes seeds are going to be located in different places through different means of doing things. I can remember listening to, I believe, the Nature's Channel, National Geographic's, and they were showing California, certain type of tree, I don't remember what kind it is, but the little seed cannot give out and be planted unless there's a fire.
It's a pine tree.
Huh?
It's a pine tree. The pine cone has to explode. To release the seed.
To release the seed. And you have to have a fire to do it. So they're trying to prevent all the forest fires.
They're killing the trees.
And they're killing the trees. Because the new seeds never get to explode without a fire. Yeah. So, you see, what you and I perceive out of this cotton-picking brain, you know, oh my God, I did all this intercession and nothing's happened. I got news for you.
Something's always
happening. Right. Exactly. In Ephesians 4, it speaks about St. Paul, of course, is trying to awaken this citywide church. And he's saying, as a prisoner for the Lord. Now, sometimes we don't realize that the trial or the difficulty that we're in. Would you give me one of those cushions, please? When we're in that difficulty, we do feel like a prisoner because we can't do what we think we should be doing. We can't do the things that maybe others are doing. But it's not important what your perception is, your emotions are. What's important is if you are God's servant or his prisoner. See, Paul, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Well, why is he calling himself a prisoner? Because he is. He's in prison because he obeyed God. Now, nobody in their right mind, natural, brain, would put themselves in prison. But God, knowing who he had to minister to, put Joseph in prison. Now, he knew, that is God, that Joseph was going to have to meet two people in his life in order to put him at the top and leadership role of maybe what you could call the governor of all of Egypt. And the only way to get there
was through prison.
Would you put your child in prison? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to do that. I would say that's not a very good place. But I can tell you that there was a lady in my life. Her name was Rosie. And when I first started working at Grace Church, her son was running around with a bunch of bad guys. And he was in his early 20s. And ended up in jail under a federal investigation because he was the driver in a vehicle. And because he was the driver, the guy who was driving around ended up killing somebody. And it made national news. Okay? And I can remember Rosie coming to me and she's crying and she's so upset. And, you know, Kip, we got to pray for my son not to have to go to jail. And then I said, wait a minute, Rosie. When is God's plan going to enter your heart? She says, but, oh, he's done such bad things and, you know, I want him saved. And I said, Rosie, would you cool your jets? I said, the scripture says, and of course I kept feeding her the word, right? Of course, if I would have been in my kid, you know, I would have cried out like Rosie. I would have done the same thing out of my own flesh. But I was the anointed teacher right then. So over and over for at least 3 years before the trials took place, because there were several, there's this boy in prison. Every day we would rejoice, we would give thanks that this guy was in prison. Well, believe it or not, to make a long, long story short, he became born again. And got filled with the Holy Ghost. And, of course, I can remember her calling me on the phone, getting very excited. Then, about 2 months ago, Bobby comes over here with another young man. And come to find out, Rosie's son and Bobby's friend were in prison together. And they came to this church. Now, I mean, do you want to try to rationalize your skinny brain on that one? I was like, I melted in my chair. Because there's this guy testifying he knows Rosie's son by name, was one of his buddies in prison, got born again at the same time, and they're still friends. So what does that tell you? A prisoner for the Lord. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, why do you think he had to write that down? Bearing with one another in love. Because he had to have some people that he wasn't very lovely or weren't very lovely to him. And there were some in my life that I say, oh my God, when are you going to flip them over, Lord? And it takes time for God to flip somebody over. Okay? Because some of them are a little bit stubborn, like I was. And like I still am in some areas. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why is it important that he's pushing buttons about keeping the unity?
Not in unity with the Spirit, you're not going to have the spiritual things in mind. You will not be guided by the Spirit. You can end up going down the wrong road automatically. Self will take over. Flesh will take over.
Yeah.
It'll be over with.
It'll be over with. Okay. So he's pressing you to make every effort because it's going to be something that you're going to have to choose to do. It's not going to be emotionally comfortable to stay in harmony and unity with somebody. Your testimony last week, Bobby, was awesome. Because that was the testimony of this word. That you activated this word. You made an effort to keep the unity. You pulled down your thinking. You pulled down your emotions. You stepped on what you were and what you might have done 20 years ago. Because you probably would have bopped somebody in the head. Am I being nice? Okay. But you chose. See, and if you see it in the Word, and then you see what you did, you see how obedient you were to the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is the counsel. And he counseled you that day. For sure he counseled you that day. And you carried out a commission that was against your natural response because, like I said, you fix them with a, you know, knuckle sandwich. And
they got each other last night. Had a good time.
Okay. All right.
So make every effort. And you did that. And I want to compliment you on staying in unity. Okay? You are not to divide yourself from those that might be your irritations. Because if they're your irritations, I can remember this one time the Lord showed me that this one individual was irritating me to no end. And the Lord said, go back and read Romans 2. Verse 1. So I did. Anybody know what Romans 2 verse 1 means? You don't know? Let's go there. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. This person was pushing my buttons. It was just every single time I could see them coming towards me. I wanted to run in the opposite direction because I just didn't want another encounter. Verse 1. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. Talk about sour grapes. I said, God, what are you saying? He said, I want you to remember, if that individual is such an irritation, it's because the same enemy that's using them was using you. But it's totally on the opposite direction. And it's using you to divide. Then he brought me back to my dad. And the very irritation that caused my dad and I to separate was the spirit of pride. He was too proud to admit that he was hurting, so he drank himself to death. And I was so proud that he was irritating my reputation. I mean, talk about weird. But it was the actual truth. The dividing spirit was pushing both of us into hell. And it needed to stop. And if you keep on going, you'll remember it says that he's leading you to repentance. He's making you or pushing you towards repentance because God is really saying, I'm allowing this irritation so you can see yourself, so you can change your mind. Change your mind about that person. Because repentance means changing your mind, putting on the mind of Christ. If you want to read it, you can. We know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? So who is he after? He's after you. He's after me. He's after me with a changed heart. And he's after my heart to be more like Christ. Of course, number 5 isn't related to me. I don't think I ever had that problem. But here goes. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath and when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who are reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress from every human being who does evil. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile, etc., etc., etc. Go back to Ephesians. Keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did you hear that? Through, in, and using all these aspects of his presence in the earth, changing your area. That's your area where you work, your area where you are entertaining. Like I shared with you earlier at the beginning, I mean, when we went to this concert, my wife and I looked at each other and we said, you know, how is God going to be in the midst of this one? Because we do question him. We all do. And yet he was right in the middle of it. And like I told you, he gave us some lessons on the integrity of this man that undoubtedly knows the Lord because of those commitments that he made. And his actions were obviously very beautiful and very wholesome. And yet, very human and very sweet. And he blessed, like I said, about 7,000 or 8,000 people. And when they were clapping about sinners, they were definitely acknowledging that they were sinners and asking for salvation. So, you know, only God can do that. And let him enjoy it. I mean, you know, talk about sneaking. You know? So, I sometimes call the Holy Ghost sneaky because he comes in on the scene when you least expect it. Amen? Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. When you look at that verse, you're going to realize there are some that get extra grace. And I believe sometimes we underestimate that because there's a jealousy in us that riles things up on the inside. And we'd like to just shut the flow of grace off. But I can tell you this, the mistake is made is because of judgment again. You know, well, they've had enough grace. Let's see some action here, God. You know, and let's see some judgments fall. But God is not like that. You know, he's going to go the seventh mile plus. And so, you know, we need to really be aware that God knows the amount of grace to get you to your destination that you need. And I was talking to a young person today, and they have three people in their lives, very, very close to their heart. And one is in a drug deal, probably pushing out dope. The other one is in prostitution. Actually, two of them are in prostitution. One is male and one is female. And we began to intercede. And how many know we all have brain thoughts that come in when we're interceding? And I was comfortable, there were a couple of places, but the other one I could tell that, you know, there was something stirring on the inside, you know, trying to say, don't do this. You understand? And what is it? It's the brain or the mind of man that says, well, they don't deserve it. How many know Dr. Luke? If he was alive today, would probably be occultic. Because doctors of that day, that's what they did, basically. Matthew was a tax collector. Do you know to be a tax collector in our Lord's day, you had to buy the position from the Romans? Did you know that you had to bribe your way to the position that you wanted in order that you could charge whatever you wanted to those that were coming into the cities that you bought their position for? Are you aware that today that would be a mafia leader for that city to collect whatever he could? Because, you see, it took a person from the city to take on the position because the Romans didn't want to do it because they didn't know the people. But a local person who was brought up in that city knew the ones that had wealth and the ones that didn't, and would charge them as they came in accordingly. Are you catching on? So did Jesus have any problems with choosing this man? Did the Pharisees have a problem when Jesus was hanging out with these guys?
Yes,
he did. See, and that's when he told them, I came for the sick. Well, he wasn't speaking just of natural sickness. He was talking about emotional sickness. When he handled the prostitute, he didn't condemn her. Male or female, it didn't matter. He just let them know that Heavenly Father had an awesome plan for them. Now, was the level of grace to be balanced off for each individual? No, it would be according to the need and to the damage within. Okay? If you have had damage in your past, and it's of a type of nature where you know that it was unjust, it was caused because people were selfish or motivated out of their own selfish ways, and you ended up paying a price, there's a reasoning that happens inside the mind that says, well, I was mistreated. I was abused. So therefore, I have a good excuse. Yet God chose you. Now, why did he choose you from your broken background? Because you will have a heart for another person of that type. And you will have compassion for them because you will understand that they need more love and more grace in that area than anyone else. So why does he choose the broken? Because they'll understand the broken. A mafia leader that is literally transformed by the grace of our God will have another young person that comes in out of that territory, out of that background, and he'll love them to pieces and say, yes, Jesus can make a way for you. Amen? A murderer will hug the other guy that wants to murder everybody in town and hug him to pieces and say, don't do this. Look what God did for me. A prisoner will hold another prisoner and say, don't you dare do this. God chose to love me, and he's choosing to love you. And you know what? It's going to be real, and it's going to be filled with compassion and love, and their hearts will break. And God, by his Spirit, will transform them. Verse 8. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. To prepare God's people for the works of service. To prepare God's people for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach. Is that what it is? You know, it's not just for the hierarchy. It's we all reach. Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of the God, and to become mature. Now, to become mature means that you're going to act and react as a mature person, and you're not going to be quick to judge such a child would be, or to condemn, or to find fault, or to point their mistakes out. Joyce Myers, several weeks back, or several months ago, I happened to catch one of her programs, and I was truly blessed because she shared a moment of humanness. And she shared that she and our group went to dinner in a very nice restaurant. And the waitress was very, very nice. And the waitress happened to share about her significant other. Well, a significant other means we're not married. Okay? Didn't say male or female, it just said significant other. And so they led this waitress to the Lord. And Joyce said, I wanted to say, well, what about your significant other? And she says, I had a check in my heart that said, don't do this. Don't accuse. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Okay? Let the Lord clean her up. It's not your job. So she said, she wasn't from that city, but she, one of the guests that they were having dinner with was from that area. So there was a follow-up program. And several times or days or months, I don't know the numbers, later they found out that the person went back and invited them to church and whatever, and the next level came. And at one point the waitress said, well, I've had a division in my heart because I got convicted. Who brought the division? But God's grace. Without injuring the person. See, that's the secret. When you have legalism operating, you end up with, oh, well, she's a prostitute. He's a prostitute. What do I do with that one? He's a mafia leader. Good heavens! What did Jesus come for? He came for the sick. Why do you have apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists? To bring unity and harmony and healing. Did I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. And to become mature in how you respond. Mature in your way of effectively impact the people that you deal with. If you are a lover, they're going to be drawn to you. If you are a critic, they'll be your friend for a while, but it won't last. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, as you're teaching me,
Lord,
to become mature,
to attain the wholeness
and the fullness of Christ,
such as it was in our Lord Jesus,
no one will irritate me.
No
matter what their background,
I will be able to give them love and acceptance.
Because you cared for me.
And you allowed me
into the kingdom
by mercy and grace
and repentance.
And
I'm glad, Lord,
that you are changing me.
Healing me,
and making me,
into an instrument of love.
Into an instrument of love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.